So, good afternoon. Can everybody hear me? No? Good afternoon. Can people in the back hear me? Yeah? Okay, good. So we've been, during this week, covering the Brahma Viharas, and we covered metta, which is the beautiful quality of heart of loving kindness. And today we were going to, I was going to share some reflections on compassion. So all these practices are a path, right? And we, it's a cultivation of opening. How do we open our minds and hearts, not to ourselves and also to those around us? And it is a practice, it's a cultivation practice, and it's a beautiful path. For me, personally, it's almost like the sweetness and the honey of the practice. So it's like nourishment for me to balance the practice of Vipassana with the Brahma Viharas. For some reason, that mix really works for me, because going out into the world, then the expression of kindness, of compassion, builds the more that you work with these meditations and these reflections. So I have a story. I am professionally, I'm a midwife. I work in a busy clinic in the city. So I've had a lot of experience in cultivating compassion through my profession, through helping women in labor, being with them one-to-one, breathing with them, helping them get up, go to the bathroom, eat, sleep, have a baby, push. And there was no time for me and mine. There was no time for that at all. I had to be one-on-one with her, totally with her. I didn't have time to think about it. And that's what compassion is about. It's about leaving self-interest, leaving the self-centeredness, and just moving from the space of calm, of peace, of love from your heart to help yourself with your own suffering and also to help with those around you. So in the vein of this cultivation, when I first started coming to the retreats, these practices were difficult even for me. Even though I had been practicing, I didn't really have the mindfulness to know that I was really doing it in my life. So cultivating the metta practice is a practice. You know, it starts and you build little by little, and over the years it gets stronger and stronger. So I have a story of one of my coworkers that kind of gives a flavor of how it kind of works sometimes for all of us at different stages on the path. So I have one of my coworkers, her name is Betty Boop, she's a lab tech. And one day she comes into the lunchroom. I was eating lunch, and she says, "Oh, Miss Cuevas," they call me Miss Cuevas. "Miss Cuevas, I have to tell you what happened." I said, "What happened?" She said she went to get her lunch to the deli, and she gave the order at the deli, and then she went and did some shopping. And when she came back, there was a line at the deli, so she went to the front of the line. And the lady that was up in the front looked at her like, "You know, who are you? What are you doing? Get in front of me." So when Betty was telling me the story, she said, "And Ms. Cuevas, I felt this surge of anger, and it just like shot up, and I wanted to just get angry with her, but instead I smiled." And she said, "It was so hard to smile, Ms. Cuevas. You don't know how hard it was, because I felt so much anger, but instead I smiled, and I said, I was here already, Miss, and this was my place in line." So she proceeded to get her food and everything. And then she said when she came out of the store, she passed the lady, and the lady said, "God bless you," you know. So it was just a reflection, but she kept on stressing to me how hard it was to put that smile on her face. She said, "I felt so much anger, Ms. Cuevas, but I put that smile on my face." And I said, and I just encouraged her. I said, "Wow, you see how that worked?" You know. And that's meant to practice. It's like just a practice. We have to go out into the world, and sometimes we deal with difficult situations. And we just keep on, we may feel different emotions, but we don't want it to spill out. You know, we want the beauty of the practice, of what we're learning here, of cultivation, of the peace, of the calm, all of that tranquility, to finally keep on building and building, and from that spill over into how we interact with the with our world. So that was one example that I gave. And the other example is I get a lot of opportunities to practice, you know, mindfulness in my job, of course. And I was working one day, and I get a lot of, I mean, I work a 13-hour shift, so I get a lot of patients, a lot of ladies come through. I love my job, but it's very intense. So from the front desk already, they were telling me, oh, Ms. Cuevas, there's somebody really angry coming to see you. You know, so they started from the front desk to tell me that, and I said, oh, boy, here we go. So they started from the front desk, and they started warning me about this patient that was going to come in, and she was so angry, and she wants a sonogram, and blah, blah, blah. So then I got a call from the front desk, and I get a call from my medical assistant. My medical assistant said, Ms. Cuevas, you know, get ready. This lady's so angry. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what a day. So then she comes in, young lady. She was pregnant. This is the first time I was ever seeing her, and she was very angry. She said, I want my sonogram, because sonogram, they can see the fetus, and it's a big thing to get a sonogram in pregnancy, especially in the beginning of the pregnancy. So she says, I want my sonogram, and blah, 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 blah. And of course, I wasn't being that mindful in that moment, and I decided to just say, oh, you're so angry. Well, that was the worst thing I could have said. That was like putting a log of fuel into her fire, because she just exploded. You know, she said, oh, what do you mean I'm angry? And blah, 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 blah. So I said, oh, my God. And so I just went into my practice. I did my body, and I centered myself. And I said, okay, now what is she asking? She said, so I finally said, okay, you could have a sonogram. She started crying. I mean, the tears just started welling. Oh, my God, you don't know. I've been alienated from my family. I live in New Jersey. I mean, just the sorrow and the suffering underneath that anger was so powerful to see that. You know, it was just like right under the surface of the anger. So I think that compassion has a lot to do with this really looking deep, listening deep. And if we know anything about Kuan Yin, which is the goddess of compassion in Chinese culture, and in fact, we have two sculptures of Kuan Yin outside and one in the back, and she represents that ability to show compassion, to hear the cries of the world. So you have this deep listening of hearing the cries within ourselves and within the world. It's the ability to turn towards the suffering, to touch the suffering, not to push it away. So that means that we do the same thing in our practice when we're sitting on the cushion. We're turning towards the suffering as we've been doing this week, you know, learning how to hold it. And we're holding it with more, with this, I call it almost like a warm blanket, it feels to me. Like when you throw metta or compassion over something, it's like, ooh, there's some kind of warmth. And that warmth builds the heart energy, and it builds up. And you learn to meet all your difficulties, all of these difficult mind states, you start to meet them with compassion and with metta, and it's like a warm blanket being thrown over them. For me, anyway, this is the way that I feel, and through cultivation of this practice. So it's the ability to work with it is really tremendous. I wanted to really stress that. Of course, one of the major people that work with compassion is His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And I have my screensaver. I have one of his sayings that says, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Humanity cannot survive without them. And I have that on my screensaver because it's so deep. I mean, and then when I really thought about it, I said, he's so right. I mean, we're going in such a direction of coldness, of technology, of what's needed is this building of the fire of love and compassion and, you know, this humanity that we need to cultivate and that you're doing here, you know, with this practice. So I encourage everyone to really explore it, work with it in whatever way, whatever phrases. I work a lot with radiation, you know, or just letting it flow. And then sometimes I use the phrases. But you can learn, find your own way to work with it, because it is a beautiful practice and it brings a lot of the beautiful heart qualities out. Sometimes when you're doing these practices, the opposite happens. You know, you start to see difficult mind states, like resentment may come up, or sorrow or pity. You know, sometimes you could think it's compassion, but you have pity for the other person, you think less of them. these are not really compassion. Compassion comes from an open heart, an emptiness of any of the greed, hatred, and delusion. So it's almost like the expression of emptiness is compassion. When the heart is clear, then compassion just can flow and the metta can flow. And a lot of it, too, has to do with, for me, equanimity, you know, the fourth Vama Vihara. So the equanimity kind of holds it in balance, because sometimes the suffering of yourself or the other person, if you plunge yourself into it, you drown in it. So the equanimity kind of keeps it balanced. So you're feeling it, you're touching it, you're being with it, you're learning from it, and you're being real with the other person that you're touching. You know, it's not your agenda. What am I going to do to help this person? No, it will reveal itself through this reflection of pure compassion, what needs to be done. It may be that, like in my case, I just need to hear what she's saying. Really listen to her 10 minutes or 15 minutes that I have with her when she sits across from me. I'm really listening to hear really what she's saying. And that helps so much. People want to be heard sometimes. They just want to be heard. Sometimes they just want you to hold their hand. It depends on what's needed, but if the mind and heart is clear, then it will come as an expression of what's really needed in the moment. And of course, it comes from the self. We have to have for ourselves self-compassion. That's so important for us to have it for ourselves, to cultivate it for ourselves. So learning how to treat ourselves with compassion, with caring, with metta, with loving kindness, that's what spills over. Once you have an abundance in your own practice and your heart, then it spills over and it's nourishment. It keeps on. The more you work with it, the more it nourishes you, and you can nourish others with it. Compassion also has to do a lot with forgiveness. You know, it's the ability to be with our own suffering, with the suffering of others, and also the ability to forgive. It's a really important practice that is also linked with compassion. So being able to forgive ourselves for all the whatever shame and blame that comes up in our practice is the ability to sit with that and forgive ourselves and to know, you know, that we can share that warmth and that forgiveness with ourselves and with others. It's a gift to be able to do that, because otherwise it's just a burden for us. It's a heavy load. So once we can lift up that heavy load and work with forgiveness and compassion, our hearts are lighter, our minds are lighter, and it gives us joy. It gives us a lot of joy. In my own practice, I find working with compassion, when I'm helping other people, it gives me so much joy to come out of my own self world and self-view and self-illusion and just be there for that other person, be there for myself, gives me a lot of joy just to know that there is a way out of suffering and we can ease our suffering and the suffering of other beings. So that's what compassion is about. And it's a beautiful quality of the heart. So it definitely works a lot with metta, because metta is loving kindness meditation, and that works with, as we have worked with it for these 3 days, you saw different flavors of how to work with that. And compassion basically is the same thing. It's working first with yourself about easing your own suffering, acknowledging your own suffering, and then radiating it to other beings. So that they may be free from suffering, so that they may live with ease, so that they may live with peace. So the phrases are similar. So I'm going to invite us to meditate for a bit on compassion. So if we can get into a comfortable position, into our seats. It's very important for the Brahma Viva Harvest, for metta, for compassion, that you be comfortable. You shouldn't really have a sense of discomfort in your sitting position whenever you work with it. And I think another thing that really was important for my practice with compassion on the cushion was when I felt my own, when the mental states, the different mental states started to arise, such as fear or greed or hatred, I started to notice that when I felt it in myself, I had this real ability to start to feel it how other people feel. I said, oh, okay, this is fear. Wow, I know how all the other people in the world feel when they have fear. And there's something about knowing it in yourself that helps you to understand other people in a much, much deeper, deeper way. And I think that's one of the most important things that I've learned in working with compassion. So again, the phrases, you can use whatever phrases work with you. The phrase that I work with was, may all beings be free from suffering. May all beings live with peace and ease. May I be free from suffering. May I live with peace and ease. You could drop down in your heart center, feel the energy there. See how it feels. Whatever's there, let it be. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings live with peace and ease. May I be free from suffering. May I live with peace and ease. Taking some deep breaths into your heart space to open up that area helps a lot. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings live with peace and ease. May I be free from suffering. May I live with peace and ease. And you could use whatever phrases work for you. You can also work with a loved one, someone that you love and care for. You could bring that image up and also wish them to be free from suffering. May they live with ease and peace, peace and ease. When your mind wanders, come back to the phrases, or just bring your attention to the heart center and breathe. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings live with peace and ease. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.